We've been working through a series that we started some time ago, and then we've had a break for it over the Easter, and now we're coming back into it. And the series is called Big Issues, Bigger Kingdom, Money, Sex, Power, and More in the Gospel of Matthew. And we're picking up in chapter 5, and I've called this one, What Happened to the Law? Question mark. So that's as exciting as it gets. Before we get to that, I need to confess something. That is that at the end of my road this week, they put up some temporary traffic lights. And they put up three-way temporary traffic lights. And the first time I came across them, I could see that they'd put these traffic lights up and there was a kind of hole in the road. But you could see the way through. You could see either side. And so I got to the lights and they were red. And they stayed red. And I thought, well, I've had enough of this. So I went through, and it was fine. I could see everything. So when I came home, they were red. Guess what I did? I went through, because, you see, they don't need to be there. They didn't need, you could see. All week, I've been going through these lights. Didn't matter what colour they were, I could see. I went through. This morning, you'll be pleased to know they were gone, so I've come to you clean. That's my confession. Back to this. We're looking at today, the reality is we're looking at this bigger kingdom and how do we get entrance to the kingdom of God. And I just want to start by saying, although you were laughing at me, many people are actually like me. You're a bit like that. You are. You may not be like it with red lights, but you are a bit like me. You think to yourself, I know what that rule is, but I'd quite like to get round it because it's a bit inconvenient right now. It's a bit of a nuisance right now. Right now, I do not have the time to live out that rule of the red light. And many people are. We try and find ways round the rules. We try and find ways round the rules that are put in place. Because they're not always convenient. They're fine for everybody else. People who don't know the village, people who can't drive very well, people who aren't as clever as me, they need red lights. I don't need them. And we try and find ways around them. And lots of people do that. In fact, most of us do that. In fact, reality is we all do it. Only Chris is admitting it, but we all do it. And at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where we are in Matthew chapter 5, if you remember, Jesus is talking to the crowds. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, so presumably he's up the mount somewhere. And he's talking to the crowds, and he's been telling them a bunch of stuff. And he's actually starting to answer some questions for the first century Jews about all these funny rules, the red lights of being a Jew. Because the Jews at that time, or in fact, Jews, full stop, live under some very different rules, and some very difficult rules. They have rules about what they're allowed to eat, about when they're allowed to work. Actually, they have rules about who they're allowed to eat with, who they're allowed to talk to. They have rules about who they can marry, who they can make promises to. They have rules about everything. And they have this seemingly endless system of sacrifices and holidays and going on and on about being clean and being unclean and what you are and aren't allowed to do, whether you're clean or you're unclean. It was actually quite hard living under Moses' law, this law of Moses. It was quite difficult. And God's law had been given to them through the prophets, through Moses and the prophets, and they had to live by it. And they found that Old Testament life was really quite heavy going. The law was hard work. It wasn't just red lights at the end of my street. It was actually just hard work. And here in this sermon, Jesus is telling them some great ways to live. Blessed are the poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. And, oh, it's wonderful stuff. And the crowds are looking, saying, can you please give me some relief from these petty restrictions? Every time I came home, I thinking, please let those lights be gone. Give us some relief from these petty restrictions. These laws which seem to be here designed to catch us out. But actually, Jesus is about to open his mouth a bit more, and he seems to be about to make it even more difficult. Because look at what he says, Matthew 5. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, unless your righteousness is bigger than and better than even all the most religious people, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So it would appear that getting into the kingdom of heaven is going to become harder because of Jesus coming, and not easier. And in fact, he's going to go on and explain several examples over this next few verses, which we'll be looking at over the next few weeks, about how he's making it even harder. About how it's even tougher. And if you want to read on, you can see what he says about it. So we've got to ask ourselves, I think, what is going on? What is going on here? How is Jesus bringing good news? And if you don't read that passage and think that, either you're incredibly bright and clever and well done and you've read your Bibles, or you're thinking, how does this work? How does that work? So what we're going to do is we're going to have a closer look at this passage and see whether we can work it out. Is that okay? I'm going to switch to the NLT, the New Living Translation, because it's just a bit easier. I think, first of all, Jesus is making several points. And the first point he's making is this. It's that the law stands. Okay, the Old Testament law, these ways of living, which were designed to enable Jews to know what it is like to be really, really good and therefore be acceptable to God, this law stands. So if you look in verse 18, he says this, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear. Right, there's problem number one then. The law ain't going nowhere. The power of the law remains. The punishment of the law, which was what? Remains. The punishment of the law, which is death, remains. Okay. Well, that's good news. Second point then. Trying to live under the law will condemn you. Because the law is simply looking for fault. It's not trying to help you. My red lights were not trying to help me. They were trying to keep me safe. But they weren't trying to help me. They were looking for fault. They were looking for the moment when I went through. But there were no cameras. Ha ha. Right. In that sense, the law's like a diagnostic tool. Like, you know the little yellow light on your dashboard that comes on every now and then and tells you something's wrong with your engine? And you think it's fine because nothing's hills wrong, so it must be fine. They're like a diagnostic tool. They show you something's wrong. So you get into verse 19 and you get this. If you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, there we are. The law is trying to live under the law is going to condemn you. The law's not going anywhere, and trying to live under it is going to condemn you. It's going to show you, even if you ignore even the least of the commandments, even the one that says don't drive down the red light when there's can see the others, and I tell others to do the same, which obviously I haven't done this morning, I will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Are you feeling relieved? And in fact, this is the line that is taken in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, you get this. Cursed is anyone who does not affirm and obey the terms of these instructions, the law. And the people all reply, amen. And then in the New Testament, Paul, who is one of the early church leaders, one of the apostles, says this. Those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear, no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. You can't do it. It's impossible to keep, and we can't make it easier. I can't let you off some little minor infringements. Third point Jesus makes is this. None of this is going away until heaven and earth themselves disappear. So back to verse 18. Not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until heaven and earth themselves disappear. So given that we're still on planet Earth, given that heaven still seems to be up there, stars and all that, I think we can safely assume what about the law? It's still here. And worst of all for you traffic light jumpers out there is verse 20. Unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom in heaven. Now, I'm a teacher of righteousness. I'm standing up here right now. And unless you are even better than me, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, thanks, Jesus. This is really encouraging now. I wonder why they gave me this passage to preach. It's good stuff, isn't it? We are stuck. They are stuck. We're completely and utterly stuck. We can never be righteous. We can never be right with God. We can never be considered good with God. We can never be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven by following the rules. Jesus himself has said so. So you'll never be good enough to enter heaven. Have you ever spoken to someone that says, well, what's going to happen when you go to hell? I believe in heaven, but I don't believe. What's going to happen? Oh, well, I'm quite good. I'm not as bad as anybody else. I'll get into heaven. I'm not as bad as everybody. No, you'll never be good enough. And Jesus has said that. You'll never be good enough. And the law proves it. Except for one thing. So let's take a closer look at those verses that Jesus actually said. So in verse 17, he says this, I do not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of Paul. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. And in verse 18, he says, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So the law actually has a purpose. And that purpose, according to Jesus, will be fulfilled. It will be achieved. All right, well, what's that about? Remember, all of this is Jesus speaking. He's on a mountain. He's talking to the crowds. So this is before he's been crucified and resurrected. This is before they even know that that's what's going to happen. This is right in the early days of his ministry. If we turn to scripture after Jesus' death and resurrection, the picture starts to develop. And so if you look in Romans 3, Romans was written by an amazing behaviorist of the law in terms of understanding what the law was and getting it right. or trying to get it right, but actually getting it very, very wrong, a guy called Paul, who was an early church leader. And this is what he said about, he was described as being zealous for the law. He was so keen on getting it right. And this is what he says in Romans 3. God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. He says we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Oh, okay, so God's now shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Or he says it in Galatians, another one of the letters he wrote this. He said, it is clear no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. We've just said that. We've just looked at that. Jesus has just shown us that. For the scripture said it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And this way of faith is different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took it upon himself. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Now, many of you know this already, but I'm reminding you, and we'll find out why in a minute. Well, obviously, because this is the bit of the Bible we're at, but we'll find out more than that in a minute. Okay. When Jesus was crucified, he was an entirely innocent man. He took on himself, according to this, the punishment or the curse of Adam given to us for our failures in the law. Got that? If you break the law, you get punished. According to this, Jesus rescued us from the curse because when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. He took upon himself the punishment that we should have received. Yes, you should be saying yes at this point. You should be pleased at this point. You've got too familiar with the gospel, you've forgotten what it is. This is good stuff. Because Jesus has just shown you how trapped you are. And now, Paul is saying, because of his death and resurrection, which comes a little bit after this passage when Jesus is talking, obviously, he's saying, Jesus has taken on himself that curse, which you were due. So, Paul says here, therefore, being right with God, entering into the new and bigger kingdom, depends not on obeying the law, but on putting your faith in Jesus. Let's get that clear. It is through faith that a righteous person has Christ. A person is made righteous. Beg your pardon, can't say the words. So Paul says this about himself. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. I no longer think because I can obey the law I'm right with God. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on you're going to stay awake. It depends on faith. Yeah? It depends on faith. I don't rely on my own righteousness anymore through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous because of my faith in Jesus. And this is what Jesus is starting to announce here in Matthew about the bigger kingdom of God. This is what he's starting to say. He's starting to wake them up. He's saying the law hasn't gone away, but he has come to fulfill it. He's come to fulfill it. It hasn't gone anywhere. But he said, I'm here and I'm going to fulfill it on your behalf. Which then should lead us to the question, so what about the law now? What about the law now? Well, because Jesus fulfilled the law, certain elements of it have indeed gone away for the Christian who puts their faith in Jesus. So they haven't ceased to exist, but they no longer apply to Christians who put their faith in Jesus, because they were about things that were have now been accomplished by Jesus. Yeah? Certain bits of the law about things that now been accomplished by Jesus. So you'll notice when you came in this morning, you weren't required to bring a pigeon or a bull to sacrifice. You notice that? You'll notice there's a distinct lack of blood and dying animals around here right now. And there has been for a couple of thousand years. You weren't required to bring a pigeon or a goat. Goat? Sheep. You have a goat. Okay, bring a goat. Well, you can't. You don't need to. That was no longer required because Jesus fulfilled it. Because Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. So no longer do these temporary sacrifices of animals, no matter how they were, how good they were, no longer are they needed. Certain days, certain types of ceremonies are no longer need to be kept. Because all those things merely foreshadowed what Jesus was going to achieve when he died on the cross. Yeah, they were given a couple of thousand years, can't remember now, before Jesus' time, and they foreshadowed what was going to happen in Jesus. So, as Paul says in another one of his letters, got a lot of Paul's letters this morning. In Galatians, he says this, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, I'll come back to that. So, Jesus fulfilled it, they foreshadowed it. So, therefore, what was the law about? Well, it protected people. It protected them until Jesus first came. So, Galatians. Before the law, way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Got that? So, this is now pre-Jesus, so T minus 2,000 years. You're in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed, which Jesus is just starting to show at this point. Let me put it another way, says Paul. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. Oh, okay. So a couple of things there. First of all, the law was given to actually show you how to be right with God. What it is to be right with God, to show you what righteousness, it protected you, it helped you somehow by offering sacrifices, by showing you what it was to be wrong with God and helping you find a way through. But now that the way of faith has come, you no longer need the law as your guardian. You don't need it anymore. The Old Testament always points to Jesus. The Old Testament, for those of you who don't know, is very in line with the Jews' writings, the Jews' scriptures, right the way up until the point when Jesus comes. So it's entirely in line, very in line with what the Jews would hold to, from Genesis all the way through to the prophets. It all points to Jesus. It shows you your need for Jesus. Jesus is its fulfillment. The law has not been done away with, but rather Jesus has fulfilled it. So back through to 17 and 18, don't think I come to do away with it. No, I come to accomplish it. I've come to accomplish it. Verse 18. It's not going anywhere until its purpose is achieved. And once its purpose is achieved, you no longer require it. You're no longer under it. The law began with the creation, fall of Adam, and it went Abraham right the way through to Moses when it was given in its way, And from the moment of Adam and Eve's first sin, when he says, you're under a curse of death, we need rescuing. We need rescuing. We need rescuing. The law says, if you do some of these things and get them absolutely right, you'll be perfect and you might be able to meet with God, but you're not ever going to do that. We need rescuing. And Jesus fulfills that law. How many of you already know that? Why haven't you put your hands up? You know that. You're familiar with it. We're all familiar with it. So when we come and sing and we worship the Lord, we say, Lord, I just thank you for, I've had a bit of a rubbish day, but you know, thank you anyway. You've been set free. You've been set free. These poor people listening to Jesus, they're under a curse. They've got no idea how to get out of this. We get so familiar with it, we just take it for granted. Yeah, whatever. Don't think I'll go to church today. I'm a bit tired. Stayed up late. Don't really feel like it. We get so familiar that we forget just what God has done through Christ. But Jesus, look at who he is. He's the son of Abraham. He's the one that kept Moses' law every single day of his life. Jesus bore the death penalty that was given to Adam and passed through Moses' law, and he bore it on our behalf. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies and plans. Plans, the Old Testament plans to undo the evil work of the serpent on Adam and Eve in that first moment. The prophecies that the rescuer would come from the line of Shem, Noah's son. Jesus fulfilled those. Jesus is the promised seed of Adam. He fulfilled the promise and the prophecies that the Savior would come. These guys were looking for it. Jesus is the fulfillment. He's getting up saying, I don't think I've come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. I've come to achieve its purpose. I am its fulfillment. He fulfilled the promise that the Savior would come from, or the Messiah would come from Judea, that he would come from the house of David, that the Savior would be a chosen king, that he would be a suffering Savior, that he would be an anointed conqueror. He fulfilled the promise that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus did that. He fulfilled the Psalms and the Proverbs. He's the great king mentioned again and again and again in Psalms. He's the wisdom of Proverbs. Jesus fulfilled the patterns and the pictures of the Old Testament. He is the new Adam. He is the new Moses announcing God's ways. He's the new Melchizedek, the priest and king of Salem. He fulfilled the patterns of the Sabbath, of the new moons, of the year of Jubilee, of the Passover. This is Jesus. This is what he did. Jesus, through his total and unfailing obedience, even to death, accomplished the purposes of the whole of the Old Testament. The law included. This is Jesus. Therefore, Paul again says this, God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor, gave him the name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is Jesus. This is Jesus that we were worshiping just now. Some of us with our hands in our pockets. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, who so stirred in some of us, we were able to say, oh, Lord, I'm so amazed at who you are. And some of us thinking, I'm a bit bored now. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. So what about you? If that's Jesus, what about you? Are you someone who is stuck? Are you trapped in the knowledge that you're not good enough? That you're never going to be good enough? I'm not just talking to people who aren't Christians right now. I'm talking to some of you who are Christians. Are you stuck in that? Are you aware of your failings? Are you aware of your shortcomings? Are you not able to get anything right? Well, let me tell you, that's what the law, that's what legalism does. That's what it does. It points it out to you. You've gone through another red light and you didn't even care. And the trouble is, it's right. You're not good enough. You're never going to be. I know this isn't terribly trendy. It doesn't really go along with my social media. You go, girl, you can do it. Well, no, you can't. You can't. You'll never get there. If you're saying to yourself, I've failed again, I'm not good enough, yeah, the answer is you are, you aren't. You have. Correct. Good assessment. But only half an assessment. But the first thing for any of us is stop relying on yourself. Do you hear that? Stop relying on yourself. Stop thinking, if I can just get this right, stop it. Stop it. Good that. Should I show you again? Stop it. No, fine. You'll never get there that way. You'll never get there that way. Come instead to Jesus. Come and rely on his goodness. Come and rely on his love. On his mercy. Allow him to change you from the inside out. Not through trying to be good, but by loving him. Allow him to give you a new heart. And if you do that, you'll do far more than anything you could ever do under your own strength. Far more. Far more. You'll find a freedom that comes because whenever anybody says to you, Andrew, you're not good enough, you can say, no, I'm not. But I've got a mate, Jesus is, and he's given me my pass. I'm his plus one into this party, and I'm going in. I'm going in. I know I shouldn't be here. You're right. I'm rubbish. I go through red lights. I don't care. I admit it to everybody, and they look at me as I'm still going in because I'm with Jesus, and he's taking me in. That's what faith in Jesus is. Not, yes, I hope he does let me in because I went through a red light this week. I shouldn't have done that. And I do hope he's got, I'm just a rubbish Christian. I shouldn't be bothering. I'm hopeless. I'm useless. I'm helpless. I've got nothing to do. I don't know why I don't just end it all right now. No. You hold Jesus' hand. He's your way in. He's your route into the kingdom of God. Not because you and your cleverness, but because him and his righteousness. That's what it is to put your trust in Jesus. And as we go through the next few weeks, we'll find that somebody's guidelines become even more difficult. Well, how am I going to do that? It's because you're holding Jesus' hand. His Holy Spirit is in you and he's changing you from the inside out. And that is what brings you life and freedom and joy. And it brings you the power to please God. And if you please God, what else matters? What else matters? If God looks at you and says, well done, I love you, you're wonderful, what else matters? What else matters? God Almighty says, I'm pleased with you. You're wonderful, Matthew. I love it when you get up and speak, even when you get stuck halfway. I think you're lovely. What else matters? He's only got another couple of months and he'll be gone, so I'm going to keep going. What else matters? Really? You want to please God? Hold Jesus' hand. Rely on him. And he will change your heart and change your life and take you so far above the law that it'll set you free. Because, as Paul said, he's been elevated to the place of highest honor. And he took you with him. What? He took you with him. He took you seated with him in heavenly places. So God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor, and he said, yeah, and you're coming with me. That's how you get into the bigger kingdom. And that's why the kingdom is so much bigger than any other religion, any other way, any other world set. They all say you've got to try harder. This says, no, 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 you rely on Jesus. And he's already taken you higher. Why don't we worship? I wonder if the band can come back. This is the gospel. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the reality of the gospel. And this is Jesus starting to announce good news. Good news not because you're not stuck, but good news because I can rescue you out of it. Let's worship the Lord, shall we?